Hi, everybody. This is very special guest, Todd Robert Anderson, and this is the Toncast. Thank you for tuning in again this week. I know how much you look forward to these incredibly fascinating updates into my life, filled with lessons about life in general, wisdom that you can take with you down the road. A lot of great stuff comes out of simply listening to me. The only frustrating thing, of course, for a listener of mine is not being able to see me, because I am something special to see. I'm gorgeous, but beyond Brad Pitt, a special kind of gorgeous, a gorgeous that you don't see come until it's right there, and then you're like, whoa, that guy's gorgeous. You know, Brad Pitt, if you saw him, you'd see him down the road, and you know, you might not know it's Brad Pitt right away, but you say, wow, I can tell that guy coming this way is good looking. But me, super white, reflect the sun. So it's sort of coming towards you, it'd be sort of a blinding white light. Perhaps you'd make out my curly ginger locks. And you might be like, what is that? Oh, man, I can't. You're blinded by the visual. And then once I get closer and hit a little bit of shade so the sun's off me and you can open your eyes again, you see me and you think, wow. And then, of course, you got to talk to me for a while and get to know me, because your initial wow is not like, wow, he's gorgeous. It's just sort of like, oh, wow. You know, like you didn't know what was coming towards you, and then it's a guy and you're like, oh, wow, whoa. And, then we talk for a while and, you know, you have a few laughs, cause that's what, you know, really you got to make people laugh. And then, you know, they see, the gorgeousness that you have, that's buried more underneath. It's not an overt gorgeousness in my case, you know, like the Brad Pitt thing. I mean, you have to talk to me. So really, you have to get to know me for an extended period. It's a couple of years of talking and, you know, maybe me loaning you money from time to time. And then, you know, you realize, you know, maybe I'll buy you dinner and, you know, you slowly realize, oh, maybe I could be attracted to him. Can't. You know, but then eventually, you know, you fall in love with me and then you learn to be attracted to me. So it's a long road, but stick with it. And eventually you'll come to realize that I am intensely gorgeous. I'm really wonderful and easy on the eyes. And a dynamo in the old saccharini. Something to behold in the sack. Really magical in the bedroom. Anyway, enough about how gorgeous I am and the frustration you feel listening to a podcast when really you wish you could watch me talk, you know. And let's get into, you know, a lot of times, and I freely admit to being a complainer. I'm a big complainer. I like to complain. I complain all the time. It's my thing. It's a hobby. And everyone's got to have a hobby to reduce stress levels. You know, some people golf. I complain. So I was thinking about that today because today I had one of those days, but not one of those days, like one of those days where it's like, well, that things went a lot smoother than, you know, I would have hoped. When I woke up in the morning, I knew I had to go over the hill, and on a Friday, that's pretty, you know, there's a lot of traffic on Fridays because all the people who haven't gone to work all week in Los Angeles suddenly go, I got to get to work today. So that way they put in an appearance at the office before the weekend happens. Cause you, and that way, you know, it's like, have a good weekend. It's like, great. See you next week. And by that, you mean next Friday. So you know, there's a lot of congestion is what I'm saying on Fridays. Cause a lot of people who don't normally go to work suddenly go to work cause it's Friday. Cause it's right before the weekend. And you got to make at least one appearance in the office before the weekend. You see what I'm saying? So I had to go over the hill, because I had to re-sign contracts with my commercial agent. And of course, I'm going to re-sign contracts with my commercial agent. They're good. They get me out. You know, what more can you ask for? They handle the paperwork. It's all, you know, it's good. And they're a likable bunch, the on-camera people at my agency. I don't know all of them. The voiceover people at my on-camera commercial agency, they wouldn't have me. So I had to go with a different voiceover. Can you imagine? Can you imagine auditioning for your own agency and having them go, no. That's, you know, for some people that's a deal breaker, but I realize, you know, they can get me out and the on-camera department's different than the voiceover department. They don't have any. The voiceover department may make bad decisions. They may not be the people I want to be with. So I'm with a good voiceover agent, and that's good and that's fine. I don't even know why I'm telling you this. The point is of course I'm going to re-sign with the on-camera agency. I've been with them for years. They're great. So really driving over there to sign paperwork is, I mean, I guess it's cool because it's an excuse to say hi. Hey, how's it going? You know, and they go, hey, I haven't seen you in a while. And I'm like, yeah, because I only ever come in here every few years to sign contracts. But, you know, and then you see me on TV and the commercials you get me cast in. But other than that, you know, I'm not the kind of guy who swings by agencies. It's not that I don't, you know, love agents and stuff and really want to. If they wanted to go out and have a drink or something, I'd meet them for lunch. But it's just weird, like, popping into an office and being like, hey, how's it going? You know, and for no other reason but popping into an office and saying, hey, how's it going? I mean, I find that incredibly awkward. I have to have a reason to go. You know, I need to drop off headshots, which never happens anymore because everything's done digitally. So there's no reason to do that. Or, you know, to sign contracts, obviously. Or, you know, in the case of the voiceover agent that I have, you know, they have voiceover agents, they have recording booths right in their office, and that's where you go to audition. You actually go to your physical agent's office and you audition for voiceovers there. But that's not the case with on camera. With on camera, you got to drive over all over creation, going to different hovels and sit in dank environments and talk to actors who want the job that you want, and everything's fun and congenial, and we joke around, and then when you see them on TV and they got the role and you didn't, you're like, God, really that guy? That's what they went with? Well, I guess they wanted stilted. I guess they wanted not funny, because if they had gone with me, I'm the choice if you want it to be funny. I'm the choice if you want it, the performance to be natural, because I'm pretty sure in the audition you said you wanted to keep it real and natural, but then I see the guy you cast is way over the top, and it's really stupid, and it's a very broad performance, and there's nothing specific about it, but that's what you wanted. So clearly, you guys don't know what you're doing. So that's what happens in your head, you know. And it's not usually not true. It's usually the actor is better for the job than you. And that's, yeah, that's how that goes. So you know, the only reason I'm going over there is to sign papers. And, yeah, not that exciting. You know, if it was, I don't know, if I was going over there because one of my agents wanted to have a meeting with me or something, and then I'd be like, yeah, all right, you know. You know, and it was good to see. It's good. The long and short of it is, you know, the morning seemed like a pain in the ass. And then there's a lady, and she hit me in the car, in my car. She hit the side of my car. Sorry, I'm not making a lot of sense. I'm not on drugs, I swear. I'm just finished working out, and I'm really tired. But anyway, so the point is, I wasn't looking forward to the day. And then, because the lady hit the side of my car has been in the body shop all week, and I've been driving a rental car, and that's a drag, because I don't really like driving rental cars. I like my own car. You know what I mean? I spend so much time on my car. It's like my space now. It's like, that's essentially my office. And when I'm apart from it and in a strange car, I get, this is weird. I'm not in the usual bubble I'm in. I'm in this other weird bubble. And I don't know if I like this bubble and the way the seats work and the driving wheel's weird feeling and everything's weird. So I was without my car all week, and that's, you know, and the rental car is way nicer because it's like a brand new car, gets great mileage, comfortable ride. The air conditioner works great. But then, you know, when I got back into my car today, my actual car, I was like, and it's the pickup's bad, and it doesn't get as good mileage. It's the newer cars, and still gets good mileage. It's a Honda. And, you know, and the air conditioning takes too long to kick in, you know, and all that. And I was like, yeah, but it's my car. It's my car. So, but I had to drop off the rental car and then go to the thing. And then, so I had to go to the signing and I had, you know, and I was like, there's going to be an hour and a half of traffic that I have to sit in to get to sign the contracts. And then I got to find out when my car is going to be ready. And I might have to come home first and then go there later at the end of the day when rush hour is happening. And this is the way I was. That was the day I was going to have. And, I was zen about it. I was cool about it. I was not like, oh, goddamn. I was like, all right, man, well, this is cool. I'm going to be spending a lot of time in the car today, going on chore errands, not like really necessarily fun errands. And that's how it is. So I got zen, and I was like, I put a bunch of podcasts on the go playlist, and I was like, I'll probably hear a lot of podcasts today, and I'll probably get home later in the afternoon and have to do a workout at the end of the day, which is never my favorite thing, because, you know, when you have a full day of work, so I don't understand people who work out in the gym after work. I mean, after work, I don't want to work out. I want to go home. That's more job. That's more work. I'm not an exercise. I don't love exercise. I get exercise because I have to. I have to get exercise. It's something that you need to do, but it's not something I like to do. I exercise to live. I don't live to exercise. You see what I'm? Do you see the point I'm making? So, you know, if you're the type of person who, you know, either gets up at 4 a.m. so you can go on a 20-mile hike before work, or the kind of person who after work you go to the gym for 2 hours and that's sort of your happy hour time. That's when you like hit on chicks or guys or whatever. Yeah, we're different. You and me are different. You know, I exercise because I have to. I try to get it done early in the day, but I will not get up at dawn to exercise. But I like to get it done earlier in the day, I'm saying. If I had a regular job, yeah, I'd probably be one of those after the work, you know. But I'd probably come home and go on a walk or something if I had a regular job, because I wouldn't need to be. I'd probably let myself, let's be honest, I'd let myself go if I had a regular job. But when you see yourself on the internet on camera every week and you go on auditions and all that, you can't. I mean, I'm not the kind of guy who's going to get Ryan Gosling roles. I don't have to have six-pack abs or whatever, but I can't be, you know, I gotta keep myself in some semblance of shape, or the jobs, I'm not gonna get the jobs. I gotta. So anyway, the point is, I'm not a fan of working out at the end of the day, and I was thinking I would have to, and then there'd be a lot of back and forth, and because, but the point is, see, the whole thing I'm telling you is because I'm not complaining, is what I'm saying. What I'm going to tell you right now, I mean, the reveal here is everything went incredibly smoothly. It went incredibly smoothly. There was no, I got in the car this morning after doing my household chores. I clean up the house in the morning because, you know, the wife is off to elementary school very early. So I usually don't have to leave till 8 or 8:30 for my day. So I do the chores in the morning. A lot of men wouldn't do the chores in the morning. They'd leave the chores for the lady to do whenever she got around to it, and they would sit and watch CNN or ESPN or something for a half hour. But I'm not that guy. I'm the good guy. I always have been the good guy, except like briefly in college I turned into kind of an asshole, but that's because I wanted to get laid. You guys, what I'm saying is I'm a nice guy, you know? Finish last, all that shit. So I do the goddamn chores in the morning. So I did the chores, and then I got in the car, and, you know, I had to be at the agency at like 10:30, and I was like, oh, I'm going to have to sit in the car for 2 hours, you know, because it's Friday, rush hour traffic. So I go over the hill. I get there in an hour, which is actually pretty good, because not at rush hour, it'd take me 45 minutes to get over there. So I get over there in an hour. I have an hour to kill. Now, when I first got in the car, I realized that when I shaved this morning, I missed a bunch of spots because I was tired and kind of rushing because I had to get the chores done. And so this gave me time to stop by a drugstore and get a razor to take care of the spots that I missed. It hurts a little to shave with a dry razor, but there were small bits, so, you know, my face burned for a little bit, but it was fine. It went away, and I didn't feel like such an idiot, because it's like the spots that I missed. I don't know. You'd have to be really paying attention. Really, you'd have to make out with somebody to notice that, but I noticed it, you know? And then, oh, and the other thing that happened, so I stopped, and I shaved it, and, like, for the last couple of days, like, every time the light hits my face, I see this, like, hair sticking out. And I couldn't figure out, and I would wipe it away and wipe it away, and it wouldn't get away. And then I was in the, and I sort of turned my head, and I saw the hair, and I was like, oh, I can get it. And I grabbed it, and I pulled, and it turned out to be attached to my nose. It kind of hurt when I, it was a hair growing out of my nose that was like 2 inches, like huge. Like, how I was the only one, nobody would go, dude, you got a really long hair sticking out of your nose. Nobody said that. I mean, it was very blonde and kind of hard to see, so maybe nobody noticed it. But there was like, it was a giant fucking hair growing out of my nose, you guys. Not out of my nostril, out of the side of my nose. And it was there for a week. A fucking week. And I was like, where is that? Why is that? And then it would come and it would go and disappear because it was so, you know, I could only see it in the right light. It had to be really sunshine. The point is, I had a hair growing out of my nose. So on the way over the hill, I'm like, God, I've missed shaving and now I'm going to show up. And then it turned out it took me way less time to get over. So I could go into a Walgreens, buy a cheap razor, fix that. And then the sun hit while I was fixing my missed shaving spots, the sun hit my nose hair just the right way. It's just perfect. And I was like, oh, I see it. And I grabbed it and then blink, pulled it right out of my nose. And I was first shocked to realize that it was growing in me and not something. But of course it was growing in me. Otherwise it would have brushed away like 5 days ago. But in my mind, you know, I was like, there was like a piece of hair on my glasses or something because I only ever saw it. I've been talking about this hair coming out of my nose for quite some time. But you understand what I'm saying. So things seemed at first like it was going to be a terrible day, but then like I get over there and there's a drugstore right there as soon as I get over the hill. So I shave the thing and I find the thing and I pluck the thing and I'm like, wow, that worked out. That's cool. You know? And then I had a little time. So I found a shady spot and I did some email-ins and some tweetings and let people know that my new episode of the Film Pigs on Geek Nation's out. So I did that, took care of that. So I got some communications done. That was nice. Just enough time to go in the building. And then I kind of had to pee at this point. And I was like, well, I better go in the building now to the agent's building because I got to go in there and ask for a key to go to the bathroom. So, and the bathroom's like way down the hall and it's a pain. But on my way to the office, when I was in the building, I happened to be passing by the bathroom right as this dude was going in and he keyed the lock and he went in and I caught the door and I went in to pee. So I got to pee and they didn't know that I peed because that always bothers me when the first thing that happens when I get to an office and I got to take a leak is like, hey, can I borrow the restroom key? So that now they know I'm going to pee like some kind of animal, some kind of freak show who's got a bad bladder or something. I've got a bladder disorder because every time I go to the office, I come in and can I get the restroom key? But that did not happen because I had to pee, but I caught the door, so I didn't have to ask anyone for a key. I just took a leak and it was good and I could fix my face and make sure my hair was all right and all the things had worked out that I'd done and I didn't have terrible razor burn or whatever, because if that happened, I would have just had to like hang out in the bathroom for 45 minutes and been late for my meeting, but that didn't happen. So then I got into the meeting and I saw all my agents and that was nice. They're all very nice and we had a laugh and we talked about stuff and then, you know, I sat and I signed all the contracts and then this payroll lady comes up and goes, hey, I was just about to mail this out to you, but since you're here, and she hands me a check. She hands me a check. I get a check. It's not a huge check, but it's a check. It was a good check. Not a terrible check. A lot of times when you're an actor, you get checks in the mail for 22 cents. It's not that kind of check, but, you know, it's not like a big, happy $2,000 check. It's, you know, it was almost $700. It's not a lot, but still, I wasn't expecting it. You know, I wasn't, oh, here you are. Here's some money. You know, and that was, I was like, oh, that's nice. You know, and I could complain. I could say, why doesn't this kind of day happen on a larger, better level, given all the things that I'm trying to, because these are essentially small, shitty things, you know, things I had to hassle with, but it went smooth, is what I'm saying. It went very smoothly, and that's rare. I don't know about you, but that's rare for me. Things don't often go that smoothly, you know? So I signed the contracts and I got my check and I was like, woo, got a check. And I walked back to the car. And the only downside about all this going so quickly is now I had 2 hours to kill before my car was supposed to be ready. So I was like, do I go home and just have some lunch and then go get the car? Or do I go kill some time somewhere? What do I do? And just as I'm contemplating this, while listening to my friends, Los Angeles Laker, Lando Lakers with the Kamenetsky Brothers podcast, I was listening to that podcast as I was trying to decide what to do. But as I was deciding, the mechanic calls, or the body shop guy, I should say, calls. And he says, hey, man, your car's ready. So I was like, oh, nice. Oh, cool. So I'll drop off the rental car and go to the body shop, and boom. I just won a couple hours. I don't know if you just heard that, but I just got a text from a friend, Steve Skelton. He wants to know when we're hanging out and drinking scotch. And my answer to that is as soon as humanly possible. Anyway, so it was cool. I saved like 2 hours right there. It was 2 hours early. So I go over, I drop the rental car off. There's no wait there. Cause when I picked up the rental car, I was there for 20 minutes just waiting. But this time, drop it off. No problem. They get me in a car, get me right over to the auto body place. The auto body guy's on his way out to lunch. And I catch him, which it wasn't a big deal either way because he had other guys who were going to help me. But this way I caught him and he knew who I was because the other guys, I hadn't met him yet. So he was like, oh, hey, I'm on my way out. But great, here's the thing. Here's your car. The lady who hit you called. She paid for everything. So you're all good. So that worked out. And now the side of my car is nicer than when before she hit it because it's old car. It had a lot of dings and scratches. Of course, now one side is like ludicrously shiny and gorgeous, and one side is all dinged up, like normal dings. But that's okay. That's fine. It's great. There was old rust marks and stuff on the car that had nothing to do with the accident, but they, like, she scraped the whole side of the car, so they were there. No, those are gone. So that's cool. Bonus there. Like, fixed up the, made one side of my car look gorgeous. Major inconvenience, but hey, yeah, you know, you come through and one side of the car looks gorgeous. So I saved 2 hours, you know, and then I pulled out of there, and then there was a Wells Fargo, and I had gotten that check, and I was like, holy crap, there's a Wells Fargo right there. I can deposit my check. So I deposited my check. How easy was that? Just deposited it and headed home. I came home and I did my workout at, I got home by 1:15 and I was done with my workout by 2:15. And here I am recording this stupid thing. So what I'm saying is, smooth day, and I want to thank the cosmos, lady luck, whatever it is that creates these kind of smooth days. Now, it would have been nicer if the smooth day had turned into a $40,000 check, or at the after my workout, my agent called and said, hey, they called from the place and they want you to be the star of the show. And I would be like, well, I don't remember auditioning. You didn't audition. They just decided they want you to be the star of the show. So that would be nice. I mean, things could always be better. I mean, let's be honest. But I'm just saying, with a day that started out seeming like it was just going to be one giant hassle of a day, no, it wasn't. It was smooth. It was smooth. And while I'm not about to start magically thinking, because it seems like not magically thinking this morning and preparing for the absolute worst scenarios made the day, you know, if that's the opposite of magical thinking, isn't it? But so I'm not going to start magically thinking, but I think it's important that while you can't control your day, when you have a good day, you have to acknowledge it, because we all talk about bad days. I know I do. Bad days. Because there's a lot of them, especially in these troubled times. But today was a good day. You know? I didn't have to use my AK. I don't have an AK. But I wasn't in a situation where I regretted not having ever purchased an AK. So, you know, that's what I'm saying. The day went very smoothly, and I just want to acknowledge the day for being smooth and easy. And, yeah. Thanks, universe. Toncast.